Welcome to Journey from Jacob. From our first breath to our last heartbeat, we are all on a journey. Jacob was a biblical character whose journey is documented for our benefit. Like all of us, there were unforgettable moments along the way, which required decisiveness. One of those decisions determined his destination. We will not only discuss Jacob's journey, but Israel's as well, right up to date. May this podcast inspire you to make choices along your way that will benefit others and guide you to the destination we all long for.
Hey, Shalom Mishpacha, this is Paul again from Comfort My People on our podcast, Journey from Jacob. Yeah, Mishpacha again means family, and I hope you guys are starting to feel that way regarding our likeness in faith, love the Word of God, growing in grace, and desiring to serve Him more. It's wonderful to serve Jesus, and it's also wonderful to know that we're part of a story that is huge, that has preceded us for centuries, millennia. But yet, this is the time in history where we are here, and we play an important role. We play an extremely important role, and I think we have to see ourselves in that role, in that light, in the light of something that is eternal in nature, because this is a story that we're a part of. And in this time of life, I think it's even more evident than ever before, certainly in my own life, where I've seen the grace of God operating mightily, but also this enemy, torrential outpouring of evil, like never before in my history, certainly, but I believe it's also in the history of the world. You know, it's going to end soon, and I'm not saying this is the end of the world. I'm not that kind of a guy. But it is going to end because Jesus predicted it, and the scriptures back this up over and over again. The prophets speak about it all over the place. But this is not something to fear as a believer. And I truly feel saddened when I see people in their faces, and I could sense the fear and the unrest because they have no hope. They have no landing place. They have no anchor. And so the Bible is the anchor to our soul, the Word of God. And we have to be confident in that. And sometimes we have to fight for that confidence. And this is the story of Abraham. It was the story of Jacob that we read the portion of where his identity was changed. But now we're into his grandfather, Abraham, who is the father of our faith. Interestingly enough, he's also considered the father of the faith of Islam as well, which is, it couldn't be further from the truth. And yet, this is how well the enemy has sewn it up. Islam is growing so quickly. I mean, it's just outpacing every other world religion by miles, including Christianity. So we need to wake up, guys. Seriously, wake up. And this portion of scripture, I think it will be a catalyst for you to think and consider the road that's in front of you and be prepared for the future so that you may prepare those around you, especially if you have children and grandchildren, but young people as a whole. And I mean young up to 30s and even in 40s, because this sense of anticipation of something coming down and they know not what is rampant. So here we are back in Genesis chapter 15, and it opens up with God telling Abraham not to be afraid. Abraham, fear not, Abraham, for I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. So I want to give you a little bit of a episode that happened to me many, many years ago. And I had recently been saved. It was a New Year's Eve, but I was asked, New Year's Eve day, but I was asked by a customer if I could do a last minute project because they were having company even that weekend. And they wanted this woodwork done against their wall and then put a coat of finish on it. So I agreed to it, and it took me longer than I expected, which is not unusual for me. And so when I got the cedar wood on the walls and finished it, sanded it and everything, it was kind of a mess, but it was freezing cold out. This is in New York, last day of the year, and I couldn't really open the doors or windows because it would freeze them out of their house. So I kept doing the work, which I shouldn't have, without the exhaust necessary, and I paid for it. The next morning, I woke up, so it's New Year's Day. I woke up and I couldn't even walk. I got out of bed and I started stumbling all over my house. I thought I was going to get sick, so I went outside for some fresh air, which was ice cold. And the next thing I know, I can't walk. I can't see. I'm stumbling all over my yard. And I couldn't open my eyes because it kept getting worse if I opened my eyes. And so my first thought was, here it is. I'm a new believer. I'm telling all my neighbors about Jesus. They can look out their window and see me stumbling across my yard on, you know, right after New Year's Eve. So I was like, oh God, get me home. I don't even know how to get home. And I'm talking about my front yard. And I just turn around and I realize where I have to head to because I could not keep my eyes open. I get into the house. Next thing I know, I'm being taken to the hospital. I'm in the emergency room and they admitted me and they didn't know what was going on, but my eyeballs were literally bouncing out of my eyes. They could see them pulsing through my eyelids. So they put me in a room and they put blinders over me so I wouldn't open my eyes. And then, you know, they leave and it's a holiday, so the staff is late and all. But here I am, like, not knowing what's going on. It was very unusual for me. I'd never experienced this before, but my eyeballs were literally popping out of my head. And then I hear this voice. It was internal, but the voice said the same thing that God said to Abraham. It was, fear not. And it was to me, fear not, for I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. That was it. And then I just, you know, chilled out in bed. Things changed. I started to feel this confidence that everything was going to be okay. So why am I telling that? Number one, it applies, directly applies to this verse that we just read and this highlighted chapter 15 of Genesis. Because Abraham was afraid. Now, I know he wasn't afraid like I was afraid. Mine was a very personal thing, but he had just spoken truth to power, and that power system was 100% demonic, whether it was literally or figuratively, satanically governed. It certainly was evil. He was encompassed by evil. And here it was night. And he's told by God himself not to be afraid. So he's with God. It's nighttime. And he's talking about this covenant. God's talking to him about the covenant, that he is going to be faithful to it. And he told him, go outside, look at the stars, count them if you can. Of course, you couldn't. But this, God's promises to him. Now, this is, I'm going to read portions of this so you understand exactly what he's talking about. Because it's so important. It's so important for today. This applies so much for the days we're living in. So the word of the Lord came to him, and he told him to look outside. And when he saw the stars, he says, so shall your offspring be. Now, he's not saying if you count the stars, that's a number you're going to have. It's just this innumerable amount of offspring, but he still had no children. So he said to him that, Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans, which is in modern day Iraq. It would be the Babylonian, it would be Babel, that area. It would be the Iraqis today. I have sworn to give you this land to possess. So Abraham said, oh Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And this is a startling moment where it's very figurative. So he tells him to bring out some animals. A heifer 3 years old, a female goat. Now, Abraham, remember, was an extremely wealthy man with large flocks of all kinds of animals. And then a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. By the way, three is always indicative of God up to something. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over and against each other, but he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcass, Abram drove them away. Birds of prey. Now, I said this previously, but the birds of prey are indicative of demonic activity. And that's also, you know, there's portions in scripture that bears that out. So then it's beginning to get dark. The sun was going down. A deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. So it's not just being out in the night. We know the stars were already starting to come out, but this darkness was way beyond just the absence of light. It was something very dreadful and dark. And the Lord spoke to him and said, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and they will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. Now, I just want to remind you what I just read, that when Abram drove out the birds of prey, it says that a deep sleep fell upon him. And that's when this dreadful darkness. So in this sleep, he's in a sleep state. I would imagine he thinks he's having a nightmare until the Lord speaks to him, but he's sleeping. And he had already set up this sacrifices to take place, but then God puts him to sleep. And he tells him that his offspring. Now, this is in context to telling him, Abram, you're going to have descendants like you wouldn't believe. You're going to be wealthy, not be beyond your means. You're going to be wealthy with children, descendants, grandchildren, and possessions of land, you know, great portion of land. But then he tells him, know for certain that your offspring, now that's Zerah again, will be sojourners. They'll be traveling through a land that is not their own, but there will be slaves there, slaves. And they'll be afflicted there for 4 centuries. I mean, that doesn't sound too comforting to me, that you're given all these promises and, you know, every good gift comes from God, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no turning. But yet this doesn't sound very good, and it doesn't sound like a gift. You're going to give me descendants and they're going to go into slavery? What is that about? Well, he doesn't know, and he's not explained anything. But there's something about Abraham that is so remarkable, is that he believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. And we spoke about this earlier, but this is a book of faith, as you know. But it's one thing to know it, you know, academically, but it's another thing to experience it. And this is what Abraham did. He was obviously an incredibly gifted man. He was strong. He was military-minded. And he was gentle and kind. And I can imagine his neighbors loved having him nearby because he was a blessing to them. And that's what it comes down to. So he says to him, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you'll be buried in a good old age, which he was. But his descendants, which we may or may not get to in depth, went into slavery through Jacob and his 12 sons went into slavery. So without knowing the future, he's just trusting God for the present. And though he's told by God initially and immediately afterwards, he said that they shall come back here in the 4th generation. But here's his reason. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Now, what is that about? What would the Amorites have anything to do with Abram? It doesn't. I mean, yeah, they were in the land, they hustled him, they harassed him, but we don't see him warring against them. Like later, we will see Joshua, and they will harass in David's time as well. So they became great enemies of Israel, but God gave him 4 centuries to repent. And that's how he is. See, he says he's, in the beginning, he told Moses, when Moses wanted to know his nature, he says, hey, look, I'm full of mercy and long suffering. And this is his proof here that this wicked nation, even though they're so wicked, and we might not like this idea, but that he gave him a long period of time for him and his children, for the Amorite king and his children, children's children, to get it right. And they didn't. And God judged him after the Israelites came out of slavery. Was a time where they were judged and the beginning of their judgment and soon to be wiped out as a people. So when the sun had gone down and it was dark, that's when, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. So Abram's seeing these things, but he's still sleeping. He has nothing to do with it. But God is cutting covenant with him because that's how they did it in those days. They'd lay out the covenant. You probably know this. They cut the pieces up, and then each member of the covenant, that 2 members, you make a covenant with, is between 2 people or 2 groups, would walk through these sacrifices, and in recognition that I will be like these sacrifices if I fail to keep up my part, my promise in this covenant relationship. But God knew that Abraham couldn't do that because he's not God. He's not capable of making that kind of a promise. So God put him to sleep, made a covenant as if he was in full agreement and he could keep that covenant and walk. He didn't literally walk in it. This burning pot, smoking fire, and flaming torch passed between the pieces. So it's not God invisibly, but representative by this torch and a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, because of what happened, that God alone initiated and would be the keeper of this covenant. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep, and God never slept in the centuries in which he's been keeping Israel. And he says to Abram, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. It's a lot of land. So God gave this to Abram, cut covenant with him, which he cannot break. And Hebrews 6 talks about by 2 things God swore his promise and his oath. He swore by that he would keep this covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, Hebrews chapter 6, very rarely taught, but this is what he's referring to. And he gives him this land, and he tells about all these Canaanite tribal people that now live there. They're going to be gone. This is going to be yours and your people forever, as long as there's stars in the sky. So what are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about what is applicable to today, because if you haven't been around lately, there's been chanting going on since October 8th. October 8th is the day after this incredibly brutal assault on the people of Israel began, and has yet to end. So it's the war of all wars for Israel in modern times. Nothing like it since the Holocaust. And when you start to hear, and I'm not recommending that you really research this, but when you start to hear, if you do, the stories of the survivors from this assault on October 7th, it is beyond barbaric. It is like, there's no category where you can put these people for the things that they did to the hostages, not just on that day when they captured them and brought them to Gaza, throughout that whole period of the two-year experience before they were finally released. It's just unreal, and it's painful to know about. I've been in the home, not the home that during the assault, but a new home, another home, very small one, that was provided for this woman who was in the kibbutz that was invaded by Hamas terrorists. She and her husband lived through it. I was with her and another friend of mine and interviewed her, and she survived. But just to hear her talking, she's a believer. She obviously had a different kind of perspective, but she was not captured, nor was her husband, nor was her sons, her two sons, and they were all safe, which was kind of rare. And yet to hear her story, it just made everything so real that when I do hear other stories, I can picture it happening because she was so vivid in her description of where they lived and what happened, the voices and such, and having her neighbors when they came out and seeing the carnage, I hate to think about it, honestly. But this is the enemy. These are the descendants of the, not literally, the spiritual descendants of the enemies of God that trampled on the land of Israel for centuries. Now, that might sound cruel to you. Well, why should the people today be blamed for what happened yesterday? And I'm not blaming all the people. I'm not blaming children for being alive. But the cruelty behind it has to have a reason for it. This is what I'm trying to get to. There has to have a reason for why two terrorists would gun down families in Sydney, Australia over the Hanukkah festival that they've been doing for years at this beach as a custom, because that's where they lived. This was their land. They were Australians, but they were also Jews. And this is what's the problem. The enemy cannot live with the notion that the Jews are still here, that God has kept his promise for this long to keep them. He can't stand the thought of it, and he's done everything to destroy them. But that's not all. That's not the only reason. Because Ephesians 2 speaks to us that God has created one new man out of the two, meaning two people groups that were at odds with each other and hostility towards one another. He broke it at the cross so that the two could become one. When that happens, it becomes a witness of the manifold wisdom of God to the forces of darkness in spiritual places, demonic forces led by Satan. This is the witness when the Jewish and Gentile believers serve as one. It is the greatest threat to the enemy, and he knows he has to keep that from happening. He didn't do well in the first century, and that's how the church burst into action, because it was a Jewish and Gentile coalition going into all of Asia. By the middle of the book of Acts, it says that all of Asia had been reached with the gospel. That's like unheard of. Nothing in modern history can compare to it, even with all our technology. How did this happen? It happened supernaturally, but it happened because it was empowered by God, because it was according to his eternal purpose that the Jews and the Gentiles would join forces against the work of the enemy. The enemy has been at large throughout the land since October 7th like nobody before. He's taken the mask off. He's shown himself for who he is. And nevertheless, he's gained such an incredible following. Now, I'm talking about this following with Hamas, but The head of this whole thing is the snake, the serpent in the garden, who is the one who birthed hostility against the seed of the woman. Which, if you're a Christian, spiritually, you are part of that seed. And you should be concerned to the utmost about your brothers and sisters who are suffering because they're also the natural seed. If he can get rid of one or the other, the Jews or the Gentile, he knows that he is safe. As long as he separates them, he is safe. And he's been safe for close to 2,000 years because it's been such a limited response of this oneness that it seems like he's invisible, gone forever, but he's not. I know as people like you, if you're a Gentile Christian and believer and you've come this far to listen to this kind of a podcast, that you have an interest that is very rare and unique, but it has to be encouraged. It has to be fed, nourished. And this is what Comfort My People is here for, to nurture this kind of a relationship that true believers, and I'm not trying to say we're the only ones, but true believers, both from the Jewish and Gentile side, would merge and come against the forces of darkness. That's our purpose. That is God's eternal purpose, that we would take the helm and bring the gospel into the nations. And it's going to happen. It will happen because God said it will. But don't you want to be on the side where you are part of the solution and no longer part of the audience, participants? So we're not just here to cheer them on, but we are here to let them know. I'm talking about Jewish believers, especially in Israel. Let them know that we are with you. The voice of the church has been relatively silent since October 7th. And the chants, just listen to this for a minute, the chants are from the river to the sea. Palestine must be free. And into chanting this, the second chapter in their play acting was global antifada must be raised up to the level of complete takeover. Global antifada means that conquering the entire world with Islam. And if you want to know what that'll look like, start listening to some of these videos of hostages that were taken captive and now they're telling their stories. It's gripping. But it's very, very difficult to even listen to. I don't want to end on this note because from there, you know, we're talking about God, and God is full of mercy. And he doesn't want, it's not his will that people would perish. It's his will that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth that would free them. But it comes with a cost. For him, you know, we say these things, the joy of the Lord is my strength, but it'll take you through the hardest of times if it's real. We can't manufacture this just by singing certain songs. We must live it out. And it's a courageous step like Abram. He spoke truth to darkness, to evil, to power. And it caused him to be afraid. But see, what happened is what we have to focus on. Not the night and the darkness and the dreaded fear, but that God shows up in the midst of us and tells us in that condition to fear not. For I am your shield, an exceedingly great reward. That is the path that the righteous take. And in and through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, it's not just that I've read the story and I know in the end we win. No, I know what it's like day by day that God promised as the Good Shepherd that he would be with us. And that's how we can face the enemy. May this lead you to a more dedicated experience with the Lord that you will satisfy you to the deepest. And let me just say this too, if you think that this is of any value, we do need, and it's not that we need this, but we would hope that you would say, you know what, I want others to hear this. I want others to experience this. I want to talk to people who are like-minded. So just like this, subscribe to this, and all the things that you know you're supposed to do in order for a population to grow. We're not looking for growth. But we do support ministries in Israel. I mean, our goal is not growth. Our goal is to support our brothers and sisters in Israel who are on the front lines serving the Lord in the most difficult of situations and have been for the entire season of this horrific war, that we could support them, they could continue doing it, they continue passing out literature and now Bibles for the first time. So many things that they're doing that goes unnoticed, and they're not looking for attention, but we want to serve them as best we can. And we have more to speak about that, and hopefully you'll stick with us. And may the joy of the Lord be your strength in ways you never dreamed of. Shalom, shalom.
We bless you for taking the time to consider this message. May it cause you to be fruitful and effective and lead others along the way with confidence and determination. Check out our website at comfortmypeople.com to become better informed and equipped to restore righteousness to the people of Israel, America, and beyond. Please consider sharing this and visit us on social media. Shalom and blessings.